Well, here we are. It is hotter than hell outside, and no better time than to talk about a little hockey than right now when it's going to be 147 degrees outside. The Last Minute Blues podcast, the summertime edition of the show. You've got myself, Donnie Fandango, Jamie River. Gentlemen, what's going on?
It is hot as hell.
It is, there. My goodness, like 10-something, right? The feels like.
At 10 too much.
At 7:30 this morning, it was like offensive. And oppressive. Like that, you know.
2:45 this morning, my car said 79 degrees or something just disgusting like that.
It's one of those days, and I love living here, and I do. But it's one of those days where I go, of all the places that I could have chosen to live, I got to live somewhere where it's hotter than the face of the sun. That's nice.
Well, I'm from Canada, right?
Oh,
so
God.
You try to get used to this, and it's taken me 20-some years at that point. Because in Canada, like, your nighttime, you can go hoodie. Even it's beautiful, like 85 during the day, sunny. At night, drops down to like, you know, maybe high 60s. You know, a little campfire, you're fine. Wake up in the morning, walk the dog, maybe a little zip up. Oh, everything's great. Yeah. I get up in the morning here at like 6:30 this morning. I let my dog out. I got hit in the face as I opened the patio door by just like a hot mist.
Yeah,
you know what? It reminds me of Vegas. It's like somebody has a hair dryer and just pushing it
right
in the face.
Man,
like
100%.
Whoa, it's just like hot air just coming
so
at you.
You go to Vegas to get a hair dryer put in your face.
Yes, I do.
It's always and something
other,
weird with them, dude. It's always something weird.
A few others
ask.
Too.
Bring one in next time.
You know, I have to say this. I have to say this to Jamie. This is embarrassing to say, but it's too good to not. During the parade, I was.
You're talking about the Mardi Gras parade, right?
Right. During the Blues Championship Parade, I was at Broadway, and I was right by the Hilton there at the ballpark. And I was about 10 people back, all right, enjoying the parade, loving every second of it. I saw you, for some reason, I start yelling your name like you're going to friggin' hear me under the thousands of thousands of people.
I didn't hear you?
No, dude. And so at some point, as you guys like kind of turn the corner, I go, you moron. There's no way he could possibly even remotely hear you. I was just so excited to know somebody in that parade that would know my name. I just didn't know how to respond.
Validate me. Now, how far down the route were you at that? Like,
I mean, we were pretty I was pretty far down because it was making the left turn to go towards the arch ground. So
okay,
we were
so
a
by
ways
that point
down.
I may have been blacked out.
Remember how you said you were enjoying the parade?
Yes.
Jamie was enjoying it more.
Right.
Dude,
right.
At one point I had a beer in one hand, a bottle of champagne in the other, and a stogie, too.
Oh,
the only reason I know that is because that is
right
that's a Jamie Rivers hat trick. Okay? That's what we call the Rivers hat trick.
Now, when I saw you, you had a stogie, for sure. It was like I'm pretty sure it was a stogie and a beer situation, and you looked like you were in Vancouver. Like, like you did. Yeah. It was fantastic,
Now,
man.
You did that, although it wasn't Mardi Gras. It didn't stop Don. I do remember you trying to show your boobs.
Well, yeah, he does.
I mean,
you seen
I didn't hear him, but I saw him.
The man's areolas are amazing.
It's any day that ends in Y, man. Sometimes I just like to get them out. You can't blame me for that.
From a standpoint of a guy who used to just be in the trenches all the time, how amazing was that?
That was incredible, guys. Like, honestly, I try to explain it, but it was surreal. It was like an out-of-body experience to see. Like, we started on 18th, right in front of Union Station where you'd go into park, you know, and we could hear a rumble. And that day was kind of raining a little bit, so you're like, oh, darn it, maybe Thunder is going to come back and this is going to suck, you know, because it was a big moment. But as we turned on the market, the rumble was the fans.
Mm.
And it looked down, it was just a sea of blue. And people were partying and losing their minds. And, like, I got chills up and down my body. And at that point, I looked at Cam Jansen, and we were kind of like, holy crap, together. And I remember, I don't know why I said this, but I looked at him and said, we're not in Kansas anymore. Obviously a Wizard of Oz reference for anybody who may not know that. I wasn't that drunk at the time. But as soon as we saw all the people, I remember going, how much beer do we have? And we popped open the coolers because I'm like, this is going to be epic.
Yeah.
And then we waited a little while and we broke out the champagne, sprayed the crowd. And I was like, I wanted to, you know, we're not part of the players who won it. We're former players. But at the same time, I felt like we owed it to the fans to celebrate with them, too, for all the years that we didn't do it.
Right,
here you go. Here's some champagne. Enjoy this. It's amazing.
What I think, I don't know if you told me this in person or if I saw this on your social media. Somebody asked about the jersey you were wearing.
Yes, sir.
Explain what happened there. Somebody said something about, oh, wow, where can I get one of those jerseys, right? Something to that effect?
Well, it's a collector's item, first of all. Hockey Hall of Fame had I had to get permission to get the Rivers jersey out of the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's a joke. But, no, I had a couple of jerseys, and, you know, the alumni wanted us to wear jerseys, and there had been talk of planning to make some jerseys, and everybody's like, no, we're not going to do that because, you know, that's just to jinx the team. We're not going to get special jerseys made. So the word was, bring whatever you have from your playing days. If you have one from your era, bring that one. Well, I had two of them because of two tours of duty here with the Blues. One was in the 90s and one was in the mid-2000s.
Number 6 and number 20, if
you
remember.
Exactly. I brought both those jerseys. And so then I made the conscious decision because if anybody knows me well enough, I'm not a fan of the 90s away jerseys with all the red.
Yeah, the red stripes going sideways.
Just like, yeah. At that point, I knew we're gonna get lit up. Like, there's gonna be some beer, there's gonna be some stuff. So I was willing, out of the two jerseys, I'm willing to sacrifice that jersey.
Yeah.
So that one got covered in beer and champagne and stuff like that.
What I love about the story is, oh man, what a classic Rivers jersey. Where can I get that? And he's like, this was my actual jersey that I used to wear.
Oh yeah, it was. Oh,
it
yeah.
was the actual jersey from back in the day.
The actual jersey.
This is just, I mean, I have a Rivers jersey hanging in my closet. It's not game-worn. Is your game-worn jersey just hanging in Jamie's closet?
I actually have, like, you know, from almost every team. Well, actually, every team, I have the jerseys just in my closet, hanging there. I mean,
funny.
I have my very – actually, that's not true. My second jersey I got with the Blues when we changed the color scheme to kind of what it is now when we switched it, and it was so cool to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That jersey is in a frame, and I had that put up in the basement, whatever. But every other jersey is sitting on a hanger in my closet.
Think. It's amazing to me in this run how that look, that striped red-blue look kind of came back. Like, I saw it in a lot of places, and I remember thinking, none of y'all people liked this for real when it was new.
There's a reason why this isn't currently being used.
I remember
I never understood the red.
Me neither, man.
Well, somebody help me.
And I remember seeing the press conference for that. And I think it was Brendan Shanahan that might have been one of the ones. And I remember going, I love that player, but I hate that freaking jersey, man.
Yeah. Now, the home ones weren't bad. The home ones had, white with the blue diagonal.
Yeah.
And a little bit of red, like a couple of stripes, little pinstripes. And I was like, well, that's a pretty cool look. And, you know, we wore those ones at home because at the time you wore white at home.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, then you get on the road and you had these red, predominantly red jerseys, and you're the St. Louis Blues, and it looked a little clownish to me.
Yeah,
and
it did.
Most guys, 99% of the guys, didn't enjoy that jersey.
And I always think of that as the Gretzky era jersey as
well. You know how I said 99?
Yeah, that's what made me think of it.
Well done.
I was actually trying to help you there, Jeff.
Thanks, buddy.
Underhand pitch.
Well, so we are here in this offseason. Free agent signings have happened. The Blues have made a couple of moves. Pat Maroon's still out there. But as we're kind of looking at this right now, looking towards the 2019-2020 season, I know the Blues signed Sammy Blais again. Can you talk a little bit, Jamie, about what the Blues have done so far as looking towards next season?
Yeah, Carl Gunnarsson was a big signing. And, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if we had a chance. I can't remember last time we spoke, but Carl Gunnarsson, to me, is, you know, a $2.53 million defenseman, especially after winning the Stanley Cup, being a big part of it.
Yeah.
And he signs for, what, 1.5 or 1.7 here at the Blues for mm-hmm. 2 years. I mean, it's an incredible deal for the St. Louis Blues. And, you know, we talked about the vanilla ice cream.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
This guy is like the Mac Daddy, the best vanilla ice cream out there. And we got him at half price. So
it makes him
because
even
we
tastier.
Were speculating,
it makes it so much better.
Yeah. I thought were speculating that he could get 3-4 years.
I didn't think he'd be re-signed here.
Yeah.
And not because he didn't want to be here, not because the Blues didn't like him, not because we didn't love him. It's just money.
Yeah.
And the salary cap and all the restricted free agents. And, you know, so they got that deal done. And I was in shock and talked to Gunnarsson. And he was thrilled to
what's
be back.
What's his number again?
Yeah, I'll send that to you.
Okay,
never.
Appreciate that.
But yeah, he was really happy to get another couple of years here, and he loves the environment. And that's the big thing is when you're signing these guys, and whether it's your current roster, the guys that could potentially leave, or unrestricted free agents looking to maybe come to St. Louis, the culture that you've created now, like everybody, it was all eyeballs on St. Louis in the final, and Boston, of course. But being that the Blues won, a little more spotlight. And every guy around the league saw a great coach with a great environment, a great culture, a great team, a team that's set up for a couple of years to come, and we'll get into some of those restricted free agents and that in a little bit. They saw a city that loves her hockey team. They saw TV ratings that were through the roof. They see merchandise that's broken records. They saw a parade that was off the charts. Those are selling points. So if your contract is up, you're Carl Gunnarsson, you're going, I kind of like that. I want to stay here, even if it's a little bit of the hometown discount.
It, from a standpoint of hockey players are some of the most superstitious people or athletes in the entire world, would it ever play into your mind that, oh, man, who's going to win back-to-back? If I come back here, I'm not going to win another championship.
No, you're always thinking that we're going to
win. I guess in your mind, you know you're always going to win.
You always want to win, and you always think that this could be the team. Like next year, like every year I went to training camp, there's not one time we went to train. Well, maybe one time went to training camp where we're like, "There's no chance we're winning the cup this year."
Right.
But every other time, you're like, "Yeah, this team's got a shot." Like, look at us. You know, we're pretty deep. You know, and then you look at the rosters that win it. You're like, "Yeah, we weren't close." But every guy thinks they're going to win it every year.
So the you know, you say the Blues are set up for the next couple of years, and by all accounts, it looks like they are. How do you avoid what has happened in Chicago? Maybe to a certain extent in Pittsburgh, not as much in Pittsburgh because there hasn't been the fall off, but how in the hell do you manage that salary cap so that you are able to have a little bit of flexibility while still having O'Reilly and Tarasenko and all the contracts in which that you have? That's going to be seemingly the biggest challenge for Doug Armstrong from here on out, right?
Yeah, like three seasons from now, okay? So two more seasons, this one coming up in the next season. We're going to be great as far as contract and salary cap status goes. We run into a little bit of a roadblock with Braden Schenn. You know, he's going to want like $7 or $8 million, especially when guys who are scoring less points and less valuable or signing $7 million deals, he's like sitting there going, keep getting the money, boys.
Right. How soon is he going to need that? When is his contract up?
He's got one more season.
Okay, so after next season is when you're saying he's going to say, hey, pay me.
Correct. Now, in doing that, you can also say, okay, by that point, Robert Thomas might be able to slot into center on the second line. And, yes, we'll lose some grit and some leadership, but we got a guy who potentially could put up the same numbers, maybe more. So you're kind of okay there. Alex Pietrangelo is two seasons from now, and you're looking at that going, ooh, what will he get out there? Mm-hmm. Tyler Myers, who's an average defenseman, is getting $6-7 million. His starting point's going to be $9 million. So to answer your question without going through the entire roster of guys right now, this season and next season, I think the Blues can be under the salary cap and competitive. Your top two dogs right now, O'Reilly and Tarasenko, are both at like $7.5 million. Which is peanuts compared to what some guys are signing for, the $11 and $12 million mm-hmm. deals. The Blues don't have that obstacle yet because they got good contracts with these guys. 2 years from now, it's going to start to suck. We'll see where the salary cap goes as far as how high it goes. If it stays close, then, yeah, some of these young guys, Sammy Blais, Robert Thomas, the Jordan Kyrous, a lot's going to be expected out of these young players.
Well, and just to follow up real quick, Jeff, before I didn't mean to jump you, but Sammy Blais, what is his, how do you view his role going forward? Because he kind of definitely seemed to be a fringe guy that all of a sudden towards the end of the year just made this, you know, really important impact. Not that we didn't know of him, but it just seemed like he was a guy and went from being a guy to a guy that we really maybe want in that 12 every night, right?
I think you do. This is a guy that was a goal scorer predominantly in junior hockey and even the American Hockey League. He was putting up numbers. Now, to stay in the NHL, he changed his role a little bit, and we saw how much he got out there and was physical and was in guys' faces and played that role. But we also saw him score a couple of goals. We're like, wow, this guy can maybe put the puck in the net, especially like that breakaway on Ben Bishop where he comes in and just rips a slap shot over his shoulder. Like, that's not by accident. This guy can do this. So I think his role will increase. Now, does he slot in next year where Pat Maroon was? That's, Pat Maroon's up in the air, and I know we're going to get to him in a minute. But, Sammy Blais can bring that kind of game to the team. He can play that cycle game. He can play that physical game. He'll go to the net. He's got the goal-scoring touch, and you're getting him at $850,000 right now, which is a bargain. So I think, the upside of the ceiling for that player is really high. So I think expectations should be high for Sammy Blais.
And Zach Sanford just signed a couple-year deal for, was it 2.5? Three altogether, like, something like that.
1.2 per season.
Yeah, so three, something like that, or 253, or 2.5, three.
Or 2.5, yes.
Yeah, for the contract.
We'll help you.
Where do you see him next year? Because he's a guy that I dig a lot, and I thought he and Berube got along very well. He was Berube's kind of player, and then all of a sudden he sat for a while.
Yeah, I think he, you know, he's still trying to figure out the consistency part of it in the NHL, and that's hard, especially when you're 6'4", and you're expected to play a certain way. He didn't play that way for a long period of time, and he found himself in the press box. He came back in the playoffs, especially in the final, and played that way, and, man, what a difference. Yeah. He got the ice time. He had a presence out there. He was involved in the play. He was a difference maker. So I think that's what you're basing that contract off of, and I could see him sliding right back in there with O'Reilly and Perron to start next season. I mean, why would you change that? You'd have to look at that.
Hands. I think he's so calm and has great hands. When he has the puck, he does not freak out at all.
No, he's got the skill. He's got the size. I think if he brings that bite to his game consistently, he'll be in, you know, the top nine.
I read a report a couple days ago that Pat Maroon has a number of one-year offers that are out on the table right now. He's looking for something, you know, maybe in the 2 to 3 year range. One, do you think it's realistic for him to – do you think he could get 2 to 3 years? And I would assume for him to come back to the Blues, it would probably be another one-year deal?
Yeah, I mean, unless he's willing to drop, you know, his price tag. He 1.75, we know he took a bit of a haircut to be a part of that team last year and turned out to be a fantastic decision for both the team and the player.
Mm-hmm.
But moving forward, I think with the restricted free agents, like, we can't forget here that the Blues still have Binnington to get signed, Joel Edmondson to sign, and they still have Barbashev, Ranky, Fabry. Well, whether you think those are going to be big contracts or not, you got to get them done. And you also have Oscar Sundquist that's sitting out there. So you got a lot of bodies that you have to take care of those guys.
That all chips away.
That's right.
No
so
matter how small the salary is.
What it does is it puts Pat Maroon in a holding pattern for both the Blues and Pat Maroon if he wants to come back to St. Louis, because they're like, well, we don't know how much money we'll have, so I can't just go give you, you know, X amount of dollars, and then all of a sudden I run out of money for my restricted free agent.
So that means he's not the priority for the team.
Not right now. He can't be, Jeff. And the only reason I say that is because he is a 30-year-old player. He is, you know, I don't want to say the end of his career, but he's a one-year deal type player. Mm-hmm. He's not your future, right? And I love Pat Maroon. He's a great friend of mine. Love the family. Big, big Pat Maroon fan. Big Rig is my guy. But if you're looking at Oscar Sundquist or Barbashev right now, and you have to decide, do I take one of these guys already assigned Pat Maroon for a one-year deal? Well, the decision's easy, right? Because you have to think about the future. We talked about how it could be depleted in a couple of years. Well, you have to have guys who can carry the torch, and that's going to be those guys. Unfortunately, it won't be Pat Maroon in 2 years that's carrying the torch.
You know, one player, man, that I have wanted to ask you about this since the season ended. Where does Robbie Fabry go from here? And is he a Blue next year, do you think?
I don't think he is, personally. Now, you know, I could be wrong. I've been wrong, like, once before in my life.
But is that doing this podcast with us?
It was the day I met Jeff Burton.
Hey, you're the one who swiped right.
You're right. But I was in England. It was backwards. But, you know, Robbie Fabry could be an interesting bargaining chip moving forward. You qualify him, but you don't want to lose his rights for nothing. You've invested time and money into this player, and you don't just let him walk. So Doug Armstrong very intelligently qualified him, which is under $1 million, to keep his rights. And now he's got to decide, do I assign this guy again, which I could probably get him around $1 million, maybe a little less, because he doesn't. Not like Robbie Fabry has a lot of leverage in this situation. Or do I package him as part of a deal? Because, you know, a team like Carolina, a team like Ottawa, a team like the Islanders, these are teams that, you know, the Oilers maybe, that are looking for a little project to recapture a guy's career. Maybe at the price tag, you're like, yeah, you know what? If Robbie Fabry gets me 15 goals, it's worth the $1 million. So, and then the Jake Allen question, of course.
Right.
Jake Allen, in my opinion, will be here to start the season. He will be the other goalie, not the backup goalie. We're not going to focus on the words backup because of the money. People go nuts on that. But if you are going to move a Jake Allen, if maybe you put Robbie Fabry in the deal, and now you spiced it up for a team to take on that contract of Jake Allen.
But realistically, someone taking on Allen's deal at this point is the chances of that are pretty slim, right?
Well, listen, you say that, but everybody now around the league is following the model of the 1A, 1B goalie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at Chicago, they've got like $10 million or more invested in their two goalies. Now, we've talked about this before where there's like a $7 million, the unwritten rule, $7 million ceiling for your tandem. The GMs try to abide by that because they associate a certain dollar amount with each position in order to fall under the salary cap properly. If you do it individual to individual, it can get kind of messy. So you try to, you know, number it. So $7 million is what you'd like to spend ultimately for two goalies. And if you look at the last four Stanley Cup champions, Pittsburgh Penguins had Matt Murray and Marc-Andre Fleury as a tandem. Then you had Grubauer and Holtby in Washington that were 1A, 1B. And then this year, Binnington and Jake Allen. So the formula is kind of there, and most GMs are looking at that going, wow, we need a two-goalie system. Carolina has re-signed Peter Mrazek and traded for James Reimer from the Florida Panthers. Both are $3 million goalies. You know, so it's not like there's a backup anymore. Mm-hmm. You say, yes, I guess a guy that gets less starts, but I think the quicker we just focus on the fact that Jake Allen's going to be the other goalie and not so much he's a $4.3 million backup goalie, the easier it is to wrap our brains around that. And if I'm Doug Armstrong and Jake Allen wants to leave and he's like, I want to be a number one. Well, okay, Jake, it's pretty easy. Go out there and play so damn good that my phone doesn't stop ringing.
Right.
Make my job easy by earning it. And then if you do that, you'll get your number one spot. I'll trade you. I'll get something in return. It'll make the St. Louis Blues better. But until then, Jake, St. Louis Blues are better with you as the other goalie playing 25 to 30 games.
I just see no sense if you get a deal, you get a deal, but I don't think you force anything.
No, I think most
worst case
what's
scenarios
your backup plan?
Have,
you right? want Ville Husso to be your backup
exactly.
goalie? He's your future.
Most of the people who want him gone are just upset. That's it.
Get
over it.
Right.
And let's think of some positives about having the man here. During the playoffs, from what I understand, he mimicked the other team's starting goalie.
Yeah,
that came from him, from what I understand. And he was like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. That's what a teammate does.
Team player.
Couple things on that, and you're bang on here, is one, he never was a problem in the locker room. He was never a distraction while he took his demotion, let's say, and Binnington was, you know, in the spotlight. Never once a distraction. He was so much a team player that, like you said, Jeff, he went in and studied the opposing goalies' weaknesses and would mimic the way they played in practice. So
Dude.
The players would shoot on him and be able to, you know, in, you know, stressful situations, shoot the puck where they need to expose the opposing goalie, which we saw them pick apart almost every goalie in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Sure did.
And so
surgically almost, man.
But by doing that, Jake Allen is actually making himself a worse goalie because he's applying bad habits to his game. So it's personal sacrifice. Because
if you
throw him in the pipes after he's emulating all these guys and trying to do all these things that maybe aren't great, like it's just habits.
Because he's not playing his
That's
own
right,
style.
Yeah.
His muscle memory is off now.
Correct. So now Jake Allen's going to have to go back to the drawing board in the offseason and get Jake Allen's game back on track.
Now I feel so bad. Now I feel so bad for ever saying a bad word about him.
Right.
Mr. Allen, I apologize.
I just would get frustrated. That was it more than anything else. I never disliked
frustration.
The guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Frustration. And the other thing that I want to say about our other goalie before we move on is that I was super happy about the fans and the St. Louisans not giving him anything besides positivity at the parade. Because I was concerned about that with Jake Allen. I really was. And it was nothing but standing ovation, rounds of applause, go you, all of that.
I think we were so out of our minds that it actually happened. I'm trying to think of an anti-St. Louis guy that I think we would just embrace that day because we were there and drunk. You know what I mean?
A guy in a Blues jersey, yeah! I love you, man!
You're right, though. I mean, it was nice to see that.
Really,
and
well.
Look, Jake Allen deserves a ton of credit because there were some big games that he had to play in, coming down the stretch where you had to rest Binnington on the road, and Jake had some big games. You look at his numbers. If you look at Jake Allen's numbers, following Jordan Binnington kind of being declared the number one, his numbers are sensational.
Yeah.
So what are you going to say negative about the guy? Now, I don't know. I still think he's got a lot to give. Is he a number one right now as it sits? No, he's not. But could he potentially get back to that kind of play? I think so.
Yeah.
We've seen it before from Jake.
I think what's so crazy to me, Jeff, before we move on, with the goaltender situation, with how mental it seems to be. I mean, not. I mean, obviously you have to have the skill and all those sorts of things. But man, it's if it seems like you are not locked in the way you need to be locked in mentally, it doesn't matter how good fundamentally.
As a former player, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like the mental side of it can get off if you have some non-success because you're standing there by yourself in your own head for so much of the game.
Yeah.
Jamie and everybody else is down at the other end of the ice trying to score, and here's Jake sitting there in a goal thinking about the last goal that he let in or thinking about the guy heckling him right now because there's nothing going on around him right now. He's just sitting there by himself. That's got to be tough.
Yeah, I've never been the goalie, but I can tell you from a player's standpoint that even when things are going bad and even if you're sitting on the bench, you do feel like you're alone. You feel like, does everybody hate me? You feel like all this stuff, right? Even though you're still in the mix, but it's like it gets multiplied by 1,000 in your own head. And, you know, you feel insecure, like, oh, my God, those guys are over there. They're talking, and they looked and laughed at they looked at me. Are they talking about me? Do they think I suck? Do they think I should be sent down? Should I be traded, you know?
What was their reaction when I let that goal in?
The coach hasn't said hi to me in 2 days.
Right.
Like, it's like, what's going on? Like, it's amazing the inventory you start to take. You get in your own head, and that's – the one thing I learned over the years is, dude, just every time your skates touch the ice, that's what you can control.
Right.
Go out and work your hardest, and that's it. If the coach doesn't open the door for you to go out there and play, figure out why he's not doing it and get back to work.
Right.
Don't let all this other stuff in.
That's all you can do, but that's like a maturation thing.
Oh,
you
it
know
takes
what I'm
time.
Saying? Yeah, absolutely.
It took me like 10 years to figure that out. Yeah. So.
All right, so the free agents obviously are still out there. And when we first got together, I was saying to Jamie, how come they haven't signed this guy? How come they haven't signed that guy? So we have a list of what I believe are the unrestricted free agents out there. And tell me, as a hockey fan, why number 4 on this list, this Ryan Dezingle, is that how you say it? Right?
Yeah, Ryan Dezingle.
So he's from Columbus. Left wing, so if let's say we lose Pat Maroon, we need a forward. This guy is, according to this, he's 27 years old, 56 points last year, 26 goals, $1.8 million. Why is he still out there as the number 4 free agent?
Well, one, he's not going to want $1.8 million.
Correct. Sure, yeah.
According to what I'm hearing, he's wanting a $3, $4, $5 million deal.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
and,
okay.
You know, the one thing that's interesting with that is when you look at the numbers, you're like, oh, yeah, look at this guy. Look at the points he had. Well, he had 20 goals in Ottawa before he got traded, and he had 4 goals in Columbus. And then he was a healthy scratch coming down the stretch.
He barely
played in the playoffs. And so you sit there and you wonder, well, yeah, maybe that 20 goals in Ottawa was just kind of a fluke, or he was in the right situation, or he was playing in the top 3 because Ottawa was so terrible at the time, and he just got more ice time. There's some red flags surrounding that player. He's a hell of a player, don't get me wrong. But is he a $3, $4, $5 million player, and is he a guy you're going to bank on or put yourself up against a salary cap and risk it? No, he's not that guy.
So you got Armstrong's checkbook. What do you do?
Well, no, that's exactly what I was going to ask. I mean,
I don't sign him.
Okay, who do you sign?
Yeah,
okay.
What moves do you make?
Well,
or
you
got to
get your restricted free agents put to bed, guys.
Right.
You know, we've got guys who are coming up for.
This is what you said earlier. Yeah.
You got to. That's if
so you're not even looking at this yet.
I'm not. I don't even care about that, to be honest, because the player that I'm going to need following all my restricted free agent stuff is not a top 6, top 9 forward. It's not. Look at the defense. We've got all 7D back.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to? You don't need anybody there. You don't need a goalie. We just talked about that.
Right.
You don't need a top 9 forward at all. Once you get all these guys signed, you don't need a top 9 forward. So you need a fourth liner. Why would you spend $2 million on a fourth line?
Damn it, it's like Dad is explaining how to cut the grass to me. It really is. It's like Dad goes out there and says, you trim first, therefore you know you can go around with the lawnmower and all the edges are already done and everything, and you better empty the bag, too, when you're done.
What's the time frame here? What's the time frame on these restricted free agent signings?
A couple of them don't have a time frame. Like Barbashev does not have arbitration rights this year, so basically they're going to just go back and forth. And he'll be a wait-and-see process because that's what Army's going to tell his agent is, look, we've got arbitration with Binnington, we've got arbitration with Sundqvist, we've got arbitration with Joel Edmondson. We don't know where we're going to fall with that. If we lose our arbitration case and if they're asking for the bank, we may not have a lot left.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be a one-year deal for you or a two-year deal, a bridge deal, whatever you want to call it. And you say, hey, Barbie, look, you got to play for $1 million next year. That's all we can afford. And then, you know, year two, we can give you $3 million. Something
so, like
that.
You mm-hmm. said before, make me open the door for you to get out on the ice. Show us in this 1 year that you are deserving of $3 million
yeah.
while you're playing for $1 million.
And I would say that that's accurate, especially with a guy like Barbashev, because, yeah, he had a good second half to last year, as did a lot of players. Mm-hmm. But the playoffs was kind of his coming out party with Sundqvist and with Steen. And you wonder, just the same as Binnington, as amazing as he was, it's still a small body of work where you're a regular in the lineup, where Binnington's a number one goalie. Can he do that for 50 games in a regular season? Can he repeat in the playoffs again? Can he give you that for a long period of time? I don't know yet. We'd like to think he can. But same with Barbashev is, can he play that role, that physical grinding role? Can he do that for 82 games? Or is he only going to be able to do that for 35 like he mm-hmm. did? So it's the question marks there that you have to evaluate what they're worth.
And will he be sober by the time training camp comes around?
I don't care. That's forgivable.
Dude got after it, didn't he?
He did. He fell out of the truck.
Yeah.
I saw that. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The Zach Sanford throwing up in the cars.
Nobody heard about that. You shouldn't have brought that up. Nobody heard about that.
Let's address that, okay? Because Zach Sanford, for those who didn't see it, he puked in the car on the driver and whoever else was in the car with him.
Yeah.
He tried to give it the old block there with, like, the two-finger block on him, and it didn't.
That just never works in the history of throwing
up. Came
out
the sides, and then he gave up, and it just came out everywhere. One, that's legendary status. In Jamie
really
Rivers'
is.
Book,
yeah.
I'm like, that guy's a legend right now. What would have been better is if he just stood up, embraced it, puked out the side of the car while staring at the fans, wiped his mouth with his jersey, grabbed a beer, and crushed it.
Yeah, right. And said, I can do that. I'm a champion.
Now that's Brett Holstad. Yeah.
There was a time we threw out a wellness check on Brett Hall. I'm just saying.
We did.
I'm just saying.
There was a right in front of me and at the parade, Colton Parayko stopped. Stood on top of a truck.
Oh, my God, right?
Chugged a beer and then threw it out in the crowd. And I have never screamed so loud for anything in my entire life. Like, in my entire
Even
life.
Even when
it
you
was
saw
one
a
of the
snake or
things.
Something, right?
Right.
Yeah.
How about that guy? What a wolf in sheep's clothing
Dude.
He was, right? This quiet country boy, big mountain man. And then he wins a Stanley Cup, and he's like...
Yeah, it was like he ripped skin off and came out of
he
himself.
He unzipped his skin and
I
jumped out.
I was watching him at the parade, and I wish I had a 10-year contract in my hand. I would have said, I don't want you to go anywhere.
Yeah, he's got some iconic pictures, too, from this whole run. He was, you know, standing in the middle of the street, Market Street, holding the cup over, staring at all the fans, and... Like it's just and on top of the truck, you know, with the arms out, and he's
right.
like, love people it. Are like, look at this animal.
I love it, man. I love
it. I love
it. Great.
Here's it. This has been our longest Last Minute Blues podcast ever, and I think this might be our best one, boys.
I think so too.
It's been pretty damn good.
Yeah, there's a couple of things I said I got to edit
Jeff
out.
Jeff sober, so that helps. At least I think he is.
That helps a lot.
Jeff who?
So we will do this again. It's the Last Minute Blues podcast.
I'm sorry to cut you off, I want a prediction from you. Pat Maroon a Blue next year or not?
As much as I want him to be, I don't think he will be a St. Louis Blue next year, and I think it's just going to be circumstances to where he can no longer wait any longer for the Blues to offer him the deal or to come at him with a price tag. He's got to think about himself, his family, and I think there's a deal to be had out there. In the NHL for Pat Maroon, and I think he signs it.
Donnie has mentioned that he's heard there's a handful of 1 years sitting out there, and I'm sure
Guaranteed.
That's true. Does he have a ballpark in his mind that he knows where the Blues are monetarily?
Well,
or not?
Nobody
and where
knows.
Are those teams at monetarily, you think?
Well, that's a tough one because I don't really know who is all involved in the mix.
Sure.
You can speculate and things like that. But, you know, I think Pat Maroon's a realistic player. I don't think he's looking at $4 or $5 million. I think he's probably looking at the $2 million range. 2.5 would probably be great for him. St. Louis Blues, it's a question mark. We don't know what they've got for money. They haven't got these deals done. If Joel Edmondson comes to the arbitration and wants $6 million a year and the Blues lose and they've banked on $4 million for Joel Edmondson, well, guess what? That's $2 million short now
gone,
on the payroll.
Yeah.
So you gotta wait and see.
Man, you bring a St. Louis in, and he wins the Stanley Cup, and then you go, you just sit over in the corner. We'll be right with you.
But it's not like they're doing that on purpose.
No, I know. That's the perception from a St. Louis fan standpoint.
It's not the player right now, and it's not the team. It's the circumstances involved right now that are putting the pause button on, and it may be on pause too long for that player to pass up other opportunities.
But as the ex-NHLer, you have to give us – fans from St. Louis a little bit of leeway, knowing that here's a St. Louis guy that came in and he won a Stanley Cup, which we've been waiting forever for, and we're all going, oh, how cool would this be to do this again next year, especially with the St. Louis, and that's why we get sentimental about it.
Yeah, and I don't blame you. You know, and if this was the early 2000s or late 90s, it'd be no question. You know, there's no salary cap at that point. So you'd be like, yeah, so what if we spend an extra $5 million on the budget? Hey, we're going for it again, you know? But you can't do that anymore.
It's I just want dude to get paid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I want dude
he deserves
to get,
it, right?
I want dude to get paid.
I want him to get paid and be in St. Louis, but I more just want him to get paid. You're right.
I want him to get paid, but I just thought of this. I don't want him to be a Blackhawk. I
don't think there's a risk of that right now. I don't believe there is.
What about a Predator?
I don't believe that's a risk either.
Good.
I do believe that the Western Conference is available to him. There's some teams that we mentioned earlier in the conversation that have been talking, I believe, to him, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. You know, it's amazing how this works. And other teams are going through the same stuff as the Blues are, with restricted free agents, arbitration, with all this stuff. And if teams lose a guy or somebody walks or the offer sheets that are thrown out there, if they lose a young guy, they may have to fill a void. And all of a sudden, Pat Maroon ends up, you know, on Team X, and you're like, well, I've never even heard of them. It's just because that's the way it happens.
What a chess game. And I know what you're saying about the whole, I don't want him to be a Blackhawk. Because when this guy left the Blues, everywhere you went, I was like, I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for you. Don't put a Blackhawks jersey on. I'm rooting for you. You know, that sort of
thing. I tried to screw it up. I put a Red Wings jersey on.
Oh, that was rough, dude.
Sorry,
that was tough. I always, and I said it every time, when you played the Blues, I hope you scored a hat trick but lost. Sorry, man.
We didn't lose when I was with the Red Wings.
On a very, very side note, on the way out of here, I was at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit
week before last.
What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful building that is.
Incredible.
We didn't get to do much around on the inside, but I mean, just the outside of it, man, is just tremendous, man.
I'll tell you
tremendous.
This. The Ilitch family, you know, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And when Mr. Ilitch, when Mr. I passed away, people found out things that he was doing in the community that nobody knew about, just secret squirreling his way through and taking care of people. And what he personally and his family has done for the downtown Detroit area is absolutely off the charts. And that arena being one of them, the Comerica Park, however you say it, and you know all the local restaurants and bars and things that have opened up down there simply because Mr. Ilitch said, no, we're not moving the team out of Detroit because they could have went to Auburn Hills. They could have went to a number of places that would have built them a new rink. And he said, nah, no way. And he finally, unfortunately, he wasn't there for the unveiling of the building. But, you know, he got his wish, and that's been transformed. And it is a sight to see.
Man, it's amazing.
It's cool to let people know about that kind of stuff because most people don't know. The other end of it, I was in Chicago at the United Center. I upper decked every toilet. Screw those people.
Jeff Burton,
even
everybody.
Though they didn't have an upper deck.
By the way, the J.B. Rivers info for today's podcast, he was a +4 for his career.
Very good.
Wow, I'll take it.
Jamie Rivers, Jeff Burton, Donnie Fandango, Last Minute Blues podcast. This is a fun one, boys. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.